GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Jim LeBrick is in our studio, CMS, Carbon Mitigation Specialist, our technical advisor on energy. George, do you have some of the GHRT duct tape in there that you can hand to Jim? Because it's going to be important as we read this news release to him from the Natural Resources Council.
I don't do mouth-to-mouth either, so he's in big trouble.
I'm relieved.
You got a DNR, don't you, Jim? Okay, here's the news release that came from the Natural Resources Council of Maine. Stop us when your heart rate goes over like 180 beats per minute, okay? The headline, Maine legislature passes bill to reboot solar energy. Dateline Augusta, the Maine legislature today gave initial approval to a bipartisan solar energy bill, LD 1711, that will deliver a comprehensive reboot to Maine's solar policies and reduce barriers that are preventing more Mainers from accessing clean, affordable solar power. The Senate vote was 32-2 to advance the bill, sponsored by Senate Republican leader Dana Dow. And hours later, mere hours later, the House voted to pass it 93-52. More votes ahead. Have you taken a look at LD 1711?
There is a ton of those bills. They're all the same thing.
I got them all in front of me.
And let me tell you, this is not going to reduce energy costs. It is going to go way up. I just calculated my bill, my last Emera bill. It's up to 19.4 cents a kilowatt hour. These bills are going to escalate that. There's absolutely no way it's going to drop the cost.
Come on, be a downer.
Debbie Downer.
They are saying we'll create more than 500 new jobs, establish much-needed regulatory predictability for the solar industry to take off and use a competitive market process to reduce costs. Oh, wait, there's more. Accelerate the development of more than 400 megawatts of distributed solar power to serve residents, businesses, and towns across the state.
Let me tell you how ridiculous this is, okay?
Oh, grow the development of community solar farms.
Oh, wow.
A cost-effective solution that would allow Mainers to buy into solar energy if they can't place panels on their homes.
Yes, let me tell you how many panels you need, okay? Just to keep up with one furnace, okay? They can't be saying we want to eliminate our clean electricity. We have the third cleanest electricity in all the United States. So if they're doing this to reduce clean, inexpensive energy, electricity rather, that's selling on the wholesale market for about 3.5 cents right now, they are totally out to lunch. Secondly, if they're doing it because they're telling the people we have to reduce our carbon footprint, we have to reduce our dependency on oil. Let me tell you, an average home that only uses on a cold night half a gallon of oil an hour, okay, you would need 465 solar panels to produce that amount of heat in terms of electricity on average. But most of that would come in the form of energy produced in the summertime. Cold winter nights with snowy days and snowy panels produce nothing. You cannot get off from oil. And
I got a big battery.
Okay, now I figured you'd say that, Josh.
I got a big battery down the cellar.
So that oil tank in your cellar, okay, if you wanted to build a battery, you know, so you could store the energy in the summertime to use in the winter, one equivalent barrel of oil in your cellar is equivalent to 465 Leaf automobile battery packs. Each one of those weighs 670 pounds. You need 465 of those just to be equal to the energy of one of your one fill of oil in your barrel in the cellar.
Let me see if I understand that correctly. You're saying that 465 batteries,
Leaf automobile battery packs,
weighing 670 pounds each,
right,
will store for me the equivalent of one tank of oil in my basement.
Somebody's going to get very, very rich when they finally develop storage batteries that can store a whole bunch, right?
Yeah. In the meantime, a lot of people are going to be very poor when they have to pay their electric bill. Remember I said my nephew out in Western Mass right now is paying 26 cents a kilowatt hour. They're out of control down there in Augusta. This is a very bad bill. This is putting the screws to every man, woman, and child in the state.
This is LD 1711. We're talking with Jim LeBrec, our technical advisor on energy, and the news release about this bill. This came out on Monday again. They claim this bill enables the development of larger scale community solar farms that could power more than 45,000 homes.
This enables you to force your neighbor to pay for something you can't afford yourself. That's all these bills do. You know, the assurance, this bill's going to assure the solar industry sales. The only thing that really assures sales in this country under the free enterprise is good products. They don't have a good product. Nobody wants to spend the money for their product. So they have spent the last 45 years in Augusta working on making laws to force somebody else to pay for your solar panel. That's what this is all about. It isn't going to be because they save you money. That I can guarantee you with my life. They can't save money with something that costs 10 times more.
Well, 1711, which I, you know, gets very weedy and I get lost and I'm sleep.
Well, it's 10 pages big and summary's two pages.
Well, let's summarize it to three lines. It directs the PUC to procure, you like that word, Rick? Mm. To procure 375 megawatts. I guess MW means megawatt.
Right.
Of distributed generation and solicit bids up to 400 megawatts of power from solar. Also expands metering cap on community solar participation. Now, all of that gobbledygook there, what did I just say?
Oh, wait, that last line you just said, I think they made reference to it in this community thing.
Expands metering cap. Yep. On the community solar participation.
Because in the news release from the Natural Resources Council of Maine, they say, and lifts an arbitrary 9-person limit that has been holding back new community solar projects across the state. I don't know if those terms are connected, Jim.
Yeah. The only thing that has been holding it back is the cost, period. There's nothing that's all this bill does is forces other ratepayers to pay for your system. Now, the Natural Resource Council of Maine, on their website, they said, reduce energy costs. That's the goal of this. That's just an out-and-out lie. There is no way you can come in with something that costs a fortune that nobody can afford and say it's going to reduce costs. They can't make a case on this. They can't make a case that it's going to reduce CO2. We already have the cleanest electricity, and they can't disperse any or eliminate any oil with these systems, and that's where all our CO2 is. Even though Maine has the third cleanest electricity in the country, we're number one for CO2 per person when it comes to heating and transportation oil. Okay? They aren't going after that. This is a big game where this is the other big game that's been going on for decades, is that they've been incrementally doing all these laws to increase the cost of energy by eliminating 3-cent nuclear power, eliminating 1, 2, and 3-cent hydropower, eliminating big scale hydropower from coming down from Quebec, on and on. All the cheap, good stuff they have been working on killing all these years. Why? Because they want to push their electricity costs up to 30 cents eventually, because then at 30 cents, then they can say we can compete. But let me tell you another thing. These bills, when you put that electricity online from these solar panels, and then you get paid the full credit for the full cost of electricity, in that cost is also the stranded cost. It's also the cost that you pay somebody for the sale of it, you know, your service provider. It's the capacity payments. Capacity payments are the standby reserves that you need. So, you know, when demand goes up, you can snap something on. You have to pay somebody to be there to increase their volume of generation. There's a price on that. Anyways, they're collecting on all of these charges as income for them. It's not an expense for them. It's all income. They're using the power lines, and they're not paying for them. They're getting paid to use the power lines. Now, when you have a fixed cost, the fixed cost of all these lines cost so many dollars a year. And if you use less electricity, your cost per unit goes up. So not only does your cost per unit go up, but you also have to pay them. The cost of our electricity is going to go through the roof.
If this is such a horrible idea, as we are led to believe by your guidance, why did it pass so soundly in Maine Senate and Maine's House? And why is Dana Dow, the Republican, supporting this thing? Yep. Whereas in previous legislatures with Governor LePage in the Blaine House, this, pardon the pun here, this solar bill would not have seen the light of day.
That's right, because we have weak Republicans that don't want to look at the numbers. I challenge Dana Dow to come on here and give you the numbers, show you how this is going to reduce our cost. It is not going to reduce cost. I want Dana Dow to come on here and show you how we're going to reduce our CO2, how we're going to reduce our dependency on oil. He is not going to be able to do any of those things.
I've got an idea. We've got a cage. We'll put Dana Dow and LeBeck in the cage.
All for it.
For MMA. I hate to blow your mind.
That's why we got the duct tape out. I told you why.
We have six bills on energy that are currently approved by committee, passed in the chambers, and waiting signature, okay?
And they all do the same thing.
They all do the same. I don't know. I know 1711 is one that's getting all the publicity. But there's 1494, there's 1464, 1679, 1282, and 994.
Right.
They are all out there,
right,
doing different things. The most anticipated bill was the one we talked about here, which is 1711. And mainly because it removed the cap on community solar net metering, set at 9 and moved it to 200, and removes the cap for customers in a community solar farm. That was the one that had the real, that's maybe that answers Rick's question of how to pass so strongly.
No, none of those bills should have passed, period. And under the LePage administration, you're right, they wouldn't have. We would have fought it. We would have been out there educating those legislators to what the facts are. We would have been challenging them to their decision to vote for a bill like this. And, you know, let them have to answer to why it is. And they can't answer it. They couldn't before, but that's all they did now was waited until there was a new sheriff down there that wouldn't care about the people of the state's electric bills.
Let me paraphrase a question from a listener as we race toward the end of our segment with Jim LeBrecq, CMS, our technical advisor on energy. How long before we see our power bills go up because of LD 1711 and other solar associated measures now under consideration?
Oh, they'll start going up right off, but it takes a while for it to kick in, and then they build, you know, you start putting up more and more solar panels. You start paying people more and more, so it incrementally increases. But once it gets up there, there's no turning back. You're stuck, right?
Well, Rick, time to bring out the
duct tape? I told
the
you.
The duct tape. And
normally it's us.
And the cliche, elections have consequences. The Governor LePage's administration established a number of policies. Wind energy moratorium, stopped the turbine development, stopped that gross metering policy thing. There were a lot of things that turned around when you change. That's the way it goes.
And when the pendulum swings the other way with the next administration?
Yeah, it's going to have to swing a long ways, baby.
Jim LeBrecq, CMS, our tech advisor on energy. Thank you, handsome. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show on the Voice of Maine. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.